Well, hello, 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 and welcome to
California.
There's the welcome music for Marcy, who is actually in California. Bit of a delay. So welcome to Drive Through HR. If you are joining us, you are listening to the Internet's number one HR radio talk show. We are here on the daily at noon for 30 to 45 minutes. We're really excited today because we're talking to Marcy Masura. Marcy? Please feel free to introduce
yourself.
Hi,
everyone. I am here, yes. So my name is Marcy, and I live in California, and I work in New York, so that's fun. And I am a senior vice president at MSL Group for North America Digital and Social Operations. That's me.
That sounds like a really big role. So what do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, mainly what I do is what everybody does in the PR world is we work really, really hard to make brands popular. And I specialize in doing that online and in digital format. So I work with just amazing brands, all household names, big people. And I love absolutely every single minute of it. It's really challenging, and it uses all of my skill sets. And some that I don't have. but we make up for that.
Well, and we may talk about some of that. Who knows? So that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. I'm happy to be here.
Good deal. Well, so as you may have heard, and as our listeners may have heard, we recently changed formats to be talk about whatever keeps you up at night to let's talk a little bit about life and some of those stumbles and challenges and what some may call failures, and you may call something else, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, let's learn from each other so that hopefully the experience that you have can help other people, peoples, plural, at some point. So to that end, you know, let's talk a little bit about what we call failure. I mean, how do you see failure?
I'll be honest, like it's hard for me to use the phrase like I failed or this was a failure or it doesn't feel right to me because it just feels so definitive. And I think that when, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but anytime I look back at those moments in my life, first of all, they've softened. I don't really refer to them as failures. I look at them more as moments of opportunity or pivots or something along those lines. And so then it makes me think that when I'm experiencing a challenge currently, maybe I need to go a little softer on it. Maybe it's not truly a failure. And I guess this comes with my advanced age in my 40s. But I'm an old lady now. But like taking that perspective and bringing it to what I'm dealing with every day, it's not always possible. But I don't like to say failure, and I don't even like to refer to other people's, challenging moments as failures. I think it's just ridiculously harsh and, like I said, really definitive.
You know what? I will agree with both of those things. I rather like the word pivot. So let's talk about some pivot moments for you. I mean, what's a moment that stood out to you as really just a pivot opportunity?
Well, you know, my career path is really crooked. And I remember when I started in PR, I was referred to by the HR lead as an quote-unquote unconventional hire. This, like, humored me to no end. It made me feel like they, like, recruited somebody off the street and they just dressed them up. I was this unconventional hire. And to me, the thing that made me laugh the most is the reason I was hired is because another area of my life was not working out as I had expected. I had started my career actually in the apparel industry doing product development and design, and lo and behold, it was not what it cracked up to be. And while I was chugging along and I had a career, I wasn't excelling in the way I wanted. So could you call that a failure? You certainly could, but I'm going to rebrand it as just not excelling where I wanted to be, and I wasn't as satisfied as I had hoped to be. And I walked away from that career completely. I closed up shop. I walked away from a big position and was a stay-at-home mom for many years. And lo and behold, stay-at-home mom did not turn out to be as expected either, and I needed something else. So was that a failure too? Not really. But it was a moment, those were two moments for me where I knew that the control was with me and I could pivot and go an entirely different direction, that my future wasn't laid out for me. And I think that's really the thing that you have to own, is that you're in charge. Ultimately, it feels like the universe is in charge, but really, you're in charge. And those were big pivot moments for me, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that they're big. Those are really two big moments that, if you don't mind, I'd love to delve a little further into, because I think the first, where you close up shop and you do something else, whether that's you start a new career or you're staying at home because you've retired, or you're staying at home to raise your children, which is several jobs in and of itself, those are all big moments, and I think it's hard. So what did it feel like for you after you made that decision, I'm going to go home and I'm not going to go into an office every day? That first day waking up, do you remember what that felt like?
Well, yeah. I clearly remember the first week kind of walking around my house going, oh my God, what have I done? And it was the feeling of finality to it, that like I would never return, that I had, just decided my fate, that now I was the stay-at-home mom, that's who I was. And the idea of ever returning to the workforce or even fulfilling other dreams seemed to be a mute point, that I had chosen this path. And, over time that became sort of silly, and I clearly now I look back and go, well, that's ridiculous. But at the time, I was less self-aware and really sort of felt boxed in by that. I loved my years staying at home and taking care of my kids and all of that. And mainly what I learned through that from a career standpoint was the fact that I was willing to own that my career and what I was going to do in the world was very important to me. It was as important as raising my children and being a wife. And that wasn't something I had acknowledged previously. And that was when I started the process of saying, okay, I got to get back in the game here because I have more to do. And so, it was weird, fun, lots of fun. But I really felt that I wasn't living up to my 100% of my potential. And that's personal. Not everybody feels that way, obviously, just to, I don't get any hate letters. But, this is a very personal thing, right? Like, I needed to do more. And I was fortunate to have found myself fall back into public relations. Which is nothing that I had been in before. So that was, it all worked out. That pivot moment really worked out for me.
So that's really awesome. I mean, when you made that decision to go back, so now let's talk about the first day after you started back. What did that feel like?
Well, that pivot was not like, it was a very slow pivot, right? So it wasn't like I'm going back to work and I apply and I show up at work the next day with my new, tie and briefcase. Mm-hmm. I started slowly doing work online, doing some consulting. So I was, instead of either or, I was weaving my work into my day-to-day life. And it was eventually when it became clear that I had an opportunity that was much more of a conventional role, full-time role. I'll tell you, when I started back with that agency, I never felt more powerful and more complete. That overwhelming feeling of like, oh my God, I finally get to use all sides of me and all of my skill sets. Wonderfully fulfilling moment. But I do recall really being mostly proud of myself for saying yes, taking the risk, and making the change. Accepting that, this isn't working, but going into a different direction to find my happy. And I remember I'm still pretty proud of that, frankly. Even if it hadn't have worked out, I'm proud of myself for at least, accepting when things aren't optimal. I think we often just accept when things aren't optimal for ourselves. And it's easier to call ourselves a failure, and I just suck at this, and this is no fun, and complain, especially on social about our lives. That's easier than making a change, right? Accepting this is failing me, this is failing my happy, and I need to make a change, right? That's hard. It's hard.
It really is. I think partially because people don't know, some people, let me back out of the rash generalizations, but I think for some people it's difficult because they don't know how to start, right? Like they can see the ship is burning, but they don't know how to get off.
Yeah.
So for you in your life, like when you looked and said, and maybe your ship wasn't burning, but when you looked and said, okay, this isn't my happy anymore, where did you start to make that change?
That's funny. I remember there was a couple, when I was staying at home with my kids, there was this period of time where I was a little obsessed with sort of self-help books and online quizzes. even going so far as to take like IQ tests and all of these different things. And I realize now looking back that that was my way of sort of trying to audit myself and figure out what am I really made of and what is it that I'm missing, right? What is this thing that I'm yearning for? What do I want, right? And I did all these, you know, silly things and learned a lot about myself. And through that weird process, I also started journaling, and I also started blogging at that time. So it was all sort of a self-audit of trying to understand what makes me tick and what the heck is it that I want? You know, I already had this great family, fabulous kids. Things were going great. I should have been happier. So what the heck was missing? And it was kind of through that process that I learned about myself.
That's interesting. Let's key in on that for a second. You should have been happier. Why do you think that? I mean, like, that. I mean, but it's a really common phrase, right? And I think part of the reason that some people struggle with depression is, and I'm not saying you did, I'm just saying in general, some people struggle with depression because they feel, they believe, or they're told, you should be happy with your lot in life, even if their lot doesn't fit as is, right? So you should have been happier with your life. Why?
Well, I think this is a tricky area because, first of all, happy comes in many different shapes and sizes, right? I think it was an expectation of myself that I had the things that I said I wanted, right? So it's like a toddler, right? I want the chicken McNuggets and I want fries on the side and I want a soda, okay? And you give it to the toddler and the toddler's not happy, right? So in my way, looking at my life and auditing things, I had everything I said I wanted. I said I wanted to be married. I said I wanted, you know, to have children and to raise kids. I said that. When I started auditing, I realized, yeah, that wasn't the case, right? I'm not as happy as I should be. So I don't know that it was truly – I was kind of starting to go down a path of depression, not deep depression, but that was how I pulled myself out, was trying to figure out, okay, you said you wanted these things, you got these things, you're not as happy as you think you should be. And there was a big part of that process where I asked myself, well, guess what? Maybe this is as happy as you get. Maybe you shall not be happier. but my gut told me otherwise. My gut told me otherwise. It just told me no. I could have gone to my grave being that happy, but I knew I could get to a really, really great place. And frankly, I have. And I've been fulfilled through my work and my family.
That's awesome. And your family is something to talk about, by the way. You've got some very, very, very big talent in your family. And your son, Jack, is just amazing. So
yeah,
I don't know if you want to brag on your kids for a minute, but this
is
totally where you can.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have teenage boys, and I will – the one thing I won't talk or brag about them at all, but I will say, as long as I have the platform, for the parents out there that think they should be dreading the teenage years and they think that, you know, all this awfulness is coming, you may be in for surprise because I have thoroughly enjoyed it. It's so much fun to watch them become people. So lots of good stuff ahead for young parents out there, I promise. So, yeah, I'm having a good time. Having a good time with them.
Well, that's great. I have two girls, so that goes up and down.
And on a good side note, too, talking about failure, you know, kids fail a lot. Kids fail a lot by trial and error. Kids are trying to figure out who they are, what they can do well at. And so I will say that the message of overcoming failure is something that sort of permeates our home and I believe helps my kids sort of achieve. We do kind of have this weird, lame family mantra of like have a problem, solve a problem, meaning not to dwell on whatever has fallen apart, what isn't working, you're getting a bad grade or your teacher doesn't like you or a girl won't go out with you, like whatever it is, you have a problem, you find a solution for that problem as a way to push through that moment, right? Like as a way to push through and pivot to something that is better. So that is something that's really, really a big part of like my parenting whatever, my parenting book or something.
That's kind of a like that's a massive aha moment for me personally, if you don't mind me saying so.
Oh,
I have two children,
yeah.
18, one 16. Will be the first to tell you I'm writing no books on parenting because I feel like I'm learning along with them. So but that's, you know, my eldest kid's really challenging. Not because she's
yeah.
a bad kid. She's not a bad kid at all. She's immunocompromised, so she's sick a lot. And she has a lot of challenges that she has to work through. And so failure happens, or what she would perceive as failure, right? You know,
right.
The grade she can't make up, the class that she missed, you know, whatever it is, the things, moments that she can't change. So that mantra of have a problem, solve a problem, I mean, that's probably something I'm going to steal from you, if that's okay, because I think that would probably help her, so.
You are absolutely welcome to steal anything from me. But I think, too, that it's and one of the reasons maybe I don't use the word failure in my own life is because I drive a lot of satisfaction from my moments of challenges, taking action in those moments to turn it into something good. That's the only way to survive it, frankly. So that's maybe why I don't really use the word failure, because it just feels so ugly to me. It just feels dirty. So I like to encourage myself and others, you know, like take some action to turn this into something that you can either live with or walk away from, right? Like, what do you need to do here? And that's sort of the inner dialogue that I continually with myself. Mini failures every day.
Well, and so, okay, let's talk about the little mini challenges, right? So
yeah.
At work, when you're dealing with a mini challenge, I'm assuming it's not just you, right? So sometimes
yeah.
my work is solo, but a lot of times we're collaborating with other people. So how do you pivot when it's not just you in the room?
Yeah, I mean, I this feels like therapy publicly, but I would say that most of my mini challenges are always centered around a relationship situation. So whether that's a work relationship, even if it's a client relationship, a misunderstanding, clarification of ownership, these kinds of things that come up every single hour in the work that I do. A lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm semi-remote, so there's some additional challenges and frustrations for other people. I am learning... I can tell you, I am still learning to be better at this, to not run from those uncomfortable moments and to put my big girl panties on and just address it head on. I'm learning. I'm not very – I would give myself a C+ in this area. I see where it benefits me, but I have a long ways to go in this. Just a little fear, you know, there's a little fear that's attached to addressing situations head on, which is so stupid because every single time I do it, I have a ridiculously positive outcome. So I don't know why I can't retrain myself, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it for sure. It's hard, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it's there's a vulnerability there, right?
Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, I wanted to be a writer. And I have a degree in English, and I was going to be a writer. And what I realized probably pretty recently, I realized that, like, yeah, I don't really like to actually write. But what I liked was a profession where I wouldn't have to deal with people because it just seemed easier to me, right? That if
and,
you eliminate
and now you're
that,
in PR.
And now I'm in PR. So, which is like hilarious justice, right? Because life really is comedy. And so I'm having to face my shortcomings on a daily basis and overcome them and push through. And it's getting a little easier. I suppose it's like working out. The more you do it, the easier it gets or something like that. But I doubt I'll ever get off of it.
I was going to say, but will it make you happy the way working out is supposed to do? Although I don't ever end working out happy. I end trying not to die. So
I feel like I think that's all a big lie and conspiracy from workout people. But that's another topic. They're all dying. It's hard.
That's probably true. Yeah, there is that. We're about 20 minutes in. We've got about 9 minutes left. I'm really just going to turn the floor over to you and say, you know, what do you want people to know about you?
Oh, my goodness. This is like therapy.
I know, right?
What do I want people to know about me? I don't know how to answer that. I can speak to because this is my life now. But I'd probably address, you know, my most recent Facebook post as of like a couple hours ago this morning. You know, it basically what it says, it was talking about the difference between confidence and competence. The idea that having a big ego is a negative thing. And so I think that, well, frankly, every post I put up in social is something I want the world to know about me. That's what we all do.
True.
But I think that even that post is probably a good representation of where I am today in my life, is trying to find the balance between being very confident, speaking up for myself, being a strong businesswoman, not being compromised for my gender or any other reason, but also at the same time embracing being kind and humble. And still being a student, we're still understanding that there's so much more to learn. So that's sort of like where my place is right now. That's probably my best frame of mind to sort of describe, you know, what I'm dealing with, which can be a challenge, can definitely be a challenge. But, you know, it's an interesting ride, particularly when you work in social and digital. And you have a big presence in social and digital like I do, you know, outward perception is like, it's pretty close to who I am. I try really hard to be authentic. But people fill in the gaps what you don't share. And so I find that people, they think I'm much, much more aggressive in business than I truly am. So maybe I would like the world to know that I consider myself pretty nice and decent in business. People think I'm just a bulldog or a Devil Wears Prada, I like to be efficient, but I'm still pretty kind to people. I like to think so.
Well, I have to say, when I first met you, you put me in a pedicab because I couldn't find my friends, and it was like 2 a.m. So you were very kind to me, and you didn't even know me. So.
See? That's what I'm doing. Saving people off the streets of South by Southwest. No, I just mean that, you know, like it we're a collection of our posts now. Like that is become. That is our bulletin board, you know, our social posts are our resume that like it precedes us. And it's a fascinating process when I get the opportunity to meet people in real life who have known me first in social. And I'm more intrigued by their misconceptions than what they do know of me. So people often come up and talk to me about my son, which is weird in itself. But I'm more fascinated by what they thought I was like. And I try to course correct for that. I try to, like, when people give me some feedback, then I try to course correct in social and try to get, you know, move the needle a little bit closer over to the side of who I believe I really am, you know. I guess the main thing I want people to know is that I work hard on being me. I work hard on being me, and I think we all should work hard at being who we are and being the best version that we can be. And that's a daily task for me, for sure. For sure.
Well, I think that's a really good lesson for everybody. And if we all did that, then I think the world would be a little bit of a different place. But we'd be less busy judging everyone else and more busy judging ourselves or just improving ourselves. Maybe it's not even about judging ourselves, but just knowing who we are.
Yeah.
How many people do you think go through life just not being aware?
Well, a lot. I don't know. I mean, I think there's two ends of that spectrum. People who are totally not aware at all, and they're just surfing through life and things are cool. And then you go way to the other end, and it's people who are overly self-aware and maybe overly in tune, and so they are overcritical of themselves. And they're missing a little perspective, right, on the big picture. And that can be terribly painful and emotional for people like that. So I think there's a really broad spectrum. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to say where most people lie. I would make an argument, though. There's a lot of articles out there about how social has made us terrible and narcissistic and all these awful things. But I will be the one to stand up and say that I think social media has done a great deal to help make us all much more self-aware and also help us cherish smaller things in our life, be more observant, and engage with other human beings at a much, much bigger scale than we ever would have in the past. So in some ways, and for myself personally, social media has helped me become more self-aware, for sure. So who knows, maybe we'll all be fully optimized and self-aware in 100 years. That would be good.
Well, that would be lovely. So we're just about, that really would be lovely, actually. And I agree with you. I think that for everything has the propensity for good or bad. Right? It just does. Social media is no different. But it's what we make of it, you know. And mm-hmm. I love all the social movements that run around. That's like, hey, I'm having I don't know if you know her or not, but Susan Lamott, who's the president of Exaquio, had her 40th birthday this past weekend, and she's like, you know what I want for birthday presents? I want everybody to go out and do something good and hashtag it 40 for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Is it going to change the world? No. Did it bring like 50 different smiles to my face over the weekend? Sure, because my friends went out and did things like gave tomatoes to their neighbors and paid for other people's Starbucks. And, you know, I just don't remember that kind of focus when I was a kid pre-social media. Like, I just don't, I don't remember that. I'm sure it was there.
I mean, it's at a different scale. I mean, I understand the people who are critical, but I think that in the long run, it's helped us more than it's hurt us. I will say, in regards to sort of failures or stumbling that some people may go through, you know, social media plays an important role in helping people find a support network or even one person to say, yeah, that sucks, happened to me too, right? Like, just that can pull you through. But it can be a little challenging that your missteps are public and they're out there to be aired, even if you were not the ones to share them. But all of that breeds a lot more accountability and authenticity, whether we like it or not. You end up having to be authentic because you have no choice. So, you know, in the end, I think that it's, like I said, not just because I do it for a living. I joke that I practice at the Church of Social Media, but you know, I'm very, very passionate about the power of it to do good, whether it's somebody saying, just go do good things for my birthday, or it's a brand that's engaging in a huge way to change the world, which is possible. It's happening, you know. So it's just cool to be alive at this time and along for the ride. And, you know, ultimately, this is what I mean when I said I needed to go find my happy. I found my happy. And it was online. It was all on my mind. So that's me.
I think that's a wonderful place to end this episode. I mean, that's I'm so glad that you joined us today, because frankly, you are one of the more centered people that I know. So, and I'm glad for that. That's really great. So thank you so much for joining us today. If people wanted to connect with you, how can they find you?
Well, the good thing is that I am everywhere by my full name. So you can go to marcymasura.com. And every single one of my social channels is there. And every single handle is, guess what it is? Marcy Masura.
Marcy Masura.
On every single
there
handle.
We go.
Yeah. So there you go.
That does make it easy. Well, thank you again for joining us. To everyone listening to Drive Through HR, we appreciate your time today. And you should go connect with Marcy, because she's a pretty fantastic individual. And frankly, she will make you crack up with her social updates. So.
Oh, good. All
thanks,
right.
Marcy.
Well, thank
Have
you so much for
day.
Having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.